The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. As the announcer of this show, I sometimes ask myself, to what shall I compare Eric? Shall I compare him to a summer's day? Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May.
But not Eric. I'll tell you, nothing shakes this guy.
And now here he is, wearing green leotards and a jester's coxcomb, Eric Metaxas.
Exit Tom, stage left.
Hey, folks, welcome to today. Wherever you are, I'm sure it's today. For us, today means Thursday, November 12th. But who are we? Honestly, we've got Jenna Ellis. Remember Jenna Ellis? She's coming up in a couple of minutes. And I want to warn you, the last time she was on this program, it got 500,000 views on our YouTube channel. Are you subscribed to our YouTube channel? It is exploding. We may be out of room quickly. You need to get in there and subscribe. Go to the YouTube channel for the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm not kidding. 500,000. That's 3 days ago she was on. It got 500,000 views. In the metric system, that counts as 500,000 in 3 days. So I want you to go to the Eric Metaxas Show YouTube channel if you can. If you're listening on radio, hey, what do you want from me? But what I'm saying is that if you want to see the visuals, you have to go to YouTube. But obviously, we love our radio listeners and our podcast listeners. But I cannot believe how things have blown up. I mean, Chris and Albin, you guys have been telling me about this. Like, we got like 25,000 subscribers like in the last month or something crazy. Yeah.
I know why. You just got better and better looking. I don't know how you did
Look
at you.
You know what? Thank you for saying what needed to be said, because
you're
a lot
welcome.
Of people, they just shrink back. Thank you, my friend, for bravely being willing. A lot of people just be unwilling to say it. By the way, I got to say this before Jenna comes on. Tonight, we're having another prayer call. Those of us who are crazy enough to believe in the living God, the God of history. Oh, yeah, we're nuts. We believe in this stuff. We believe in the power of prayer. If you don't, hey, just write us off as wackos. But we believe in the power of prayer. We believe God cares about history. And some of us believe that he has great plans for the freest, most prosperous country in the history of the world, that our story is not over. We're not supposed to slither down south to Venezuela into the ash heap of history, which technically or actually literally is located geographically within the borders of Venezuela. I've seen the ash heap on the internet. I'm pretty sure it's real. But the point is, tonight we're having another prayer call. If you want to join that prayer call, it's a little on the charismatic Pentecostal side. There's a man who blows a red, white, and blue shofar. Chris Himes, you know I'm not making that up.
Yeah, I haven't been able to join yet because of my...
Because of your skepticism to the reality of God, the Lord of hosts, Sabaoth. That's your problem, pal.
Who?
Chris, listen, when he blows the shofar, I was very tempted, because it's kind of but I was tempted to say, hey, can you play the Flight of the Bumblebee on that? But I didn't do that. Okay, yeah. So listen, tonight, the prayer call, I'm going to put it out on all my social media. I'm also going to put out the link. It's Facebook Global Awakening. I don't even know. Remember what it is, but if you look on my
thing,
if you look on my on my social media, whatever it is, Facebook, Parler, Twitter, Gab, whatever, I've listed it there. But it's tonight. I think it's 8 o'clock Eastern. I don't know, but it's a powerful time of prayer. I hope you can join it. Also, the Family Research Council is doing a prayer call tonight. For those of you who are perhaps Dutch Reformed, you're frightened by shofars. Maybe you don't even know what a shofar is. Maybe you're only saved technically in an intellectual, theological sense. Hey, that's your issue. You go to Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council. A lot of my friends are participating in that one. I would if I could be in two places at once, like Padre Pio, but I cannot. And that's a deep deep Catholic joke. Okay, so folks, hey, yes.
You know what, a friend of mine, I'm not kidding, just texted me this from the Epoch Times, Epoch Times, whatever.
Yeah,
a new map. It's a new map that shows the realistic count right now if everything was played out fairly.
Actually, I would just want to tell you that I also posted on social media, Kevin McCullough, Votestradamus, shared, and he's going to be, by the way, exonerated as Votestradamus. You watch and see when we find out where the legal votes came from. But he texted me something too. I don't want to forget tonight's prayer call. I also want to say, now that we know that Fox News is in the bag for Biden, courtesy of George Soros, now, unfortunately, I don't think I'm joking. I think there's something here. I talked about it on the program yesterday. I figured out, no joke, that the reason I was not allowed on Fox News to talk about my Donald the Caveman books is because the number one villain in the swamp is the dinosaur named the George O. Soros. I'm actually not joking. I know from two sources now that they were forbidden from mentioning Soros on the air. So that's not like a rumor, you know, that because Newt Gingrich mentioned it, it was some kind of a rumor. Evidently, two people that I know and respect told me this happened to them and they were actually banned from Fox as a result of this, which sounds insane, but I know these people wouldn't make this up. So that would be why my first book and then all subsequent Donald the Caveman books have Fox and Friends, Hannity, nobody has allowed me to come on and talk about these books, which kind of doesn't make sense because it's sort of, you know, up their alley. So I think maybe Rupert Murdoch has made a dirty deal with his billionaire pal, George Soros. I don't know, but it sure sounds like it. So that brings up two things. You therefore have a patriotic duty to buy the Donald the Caveman books. I recommend going to mystore.com. That's connected to mypillow.com. If you go to mypillow.com, always use the code Eric to get our discount. It's a huge discount. It's the most comfortable discount you'll ever get. And also, I want to remind you, if you don't mind my saying this before Jenna Ellis comes on, that you guys know what I'm going to say?
No, say it.
Not sure.
Well, it was just to go to mypillow.com and to use the code Eric because independent of the Donald the Caveman book controversy, you know that Fox News is making a lot of money from those Mike Lindell ads. And that money is now going into the coffers of Soros-friendly people, it seems to me. So if you see an ad, you know, on one of those shows, don't use that discount. Use our discount, Eric. We can't force you to do that. But just to encourage you to use the code Eric, let me repeat, and this is a scientific fact, it's the most comfortable discount code you'll ever get.
Yay!
Isn't that uncanny? That's Frank Gorshin level impression. Okay, we also have to say,
where people need to get gifts for people. So yes. Keep thinking about that.
Are we allowed to say Christmas on the Salem Radio Network? Because it's been banned on Fox. Did you know that?
Nope.
That's right. The Grinch, George Soros, has banned Christmas. They're not
going to mention it on Fox. Him again.
Listen to them today. Turn on Fox right now. See if they're mentioning Christmas. I don't think so.
Okay,
so,
but can we mention shopmetaxas.com, where you can get this wonderful mug for just $5. This weekend, it goes up to $10.
All right, listen.
Hat is only $7.
We're not joking. Those prices are they're genuinely insane. And I told them in Dallas where they're doing fulfillment, those prices, we're going to lose money. Like, I'm not kidding. I think, like, I don't understand what they're trying to do.
I know what it is.
Let's call it an introductory.
The cost of living is so much lower in Dallas, so they don't think these things are expensive.
I was going to say just the cost of lifting the mug is more than $4.99 to us personally. So honestly, go to our website. It's metaxastalk.com. Click on my store. Is it my store? What is it?
Oh, it's called shopmetaxas.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mike Lindell is mystore.com. Shopmetaxas.com. But if you just go to our website, metaxastalk.com. But I'm not kidding. Those prices are ridiculous. They're going to go up this weekend. So if you feel like getting a mug, actually for Christmas, that's another great idea. They are $4.99. That's insane. The t-shirts are like insane. $10. Everything's like ridiculous. So you can go there. But we're not kidding. The prices are going to go up. Like, you know, I've cried wolf enough, so you don't believe me. We've got other things to mention, but we're out of time. Our YouTube numbers are exploding. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. I know I just mentioned that, but don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We want to double the number. We have 125,000 people subscribed. We want to double that number by Christmas. And I also want to say we're out of time.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. Things are so crazy in this country now that I book a guest, and that guest has to be in meetings with the president of the United States. And so they say, oh, can we do it a little bit later, Eric? And what do you think I'm going to say? And you tell the president you're on the Eric Metaxas show and he has to wait. I'm not going to say that. So Jenna Ellis will be with us in a few minutes, but we have my friend Dinesh D'Souza with us right now. Dinesh, welcome.
Hey, Eric, I'm happy to report my meeting with the president is later today. So I was able to pull this off.
I am only having on guests who are meeting with the president today. That's the level that we've moved to on this program, Dinesh. You understand? In all seriousness, you're going to be on this program tomorrow because I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time about what you see happening in the country. But I said, if we can get you on a little bit today, let's talk a little bit today. And I just want to say, I don't think anybody but somebody from the country of India could pull off a lavender shirt and still look masculine.
Well, I think it's the brown skin. So the pastel against the brown. Remember, Eric, I am a person of color. I speak with the moral authority of somebody whose ancestors have been victimized for centuries.
By the way, in case you didn't know, Trump hates you people. Okay, let's continue. We are at a tremendous inflection point in America right now. And I know that my audience is getting less clarity from places like perhaps Fox News. They're dying to know what is going on behind the scenes or what people like you think. So just tell us, where do you think we are in this process right now? What do you think is happening?
I think we're at a point where we are asking really basic questions about fundamental institutions. This actually has become bigger than even an election result, and that's big enough.
Yes,
it involves, in a sense, every election result. Because remember, first of all, Republicans, conservatives, we've lost elections before, many. We lost two with Obama. We lost the midterm in 2018. So this is not about can we live with the result of a losing election. We've shown that we can. If anybody needs to demonstrate their willingness to live with defeat, it's the other side. They went crazy when Trump was elected. They've never accepted the result until now. So it's kind of weird that they're demanding that we, you know, show our ability to take a loss and so on. They never did.
Oh, I have to just interrupt you just in case people forget, because I forgot. Literally the day after the inauguration, just in case people wonder, how did things get so divisive in America? Oh, it's because of Trump. No. This is the day after the election. There was the Women's March, which was not a women's march. It was a hate Trump march. And Madonna said, yes, I've thought a lot about blowing up the White House. This was the day after the inauguration, not the election, the inauguration. So the inability to accept the results of an election, just as you said, I want to be really clear with my audience how dramatically the Democrats refused to accept the results of an election where we know there was no voter fraud. Nobody alleged voter fraud. They simply thought with no voter fraud, we still refuse to accept the election. But the idea now that there is significant suspicion of voter fraud with a lot of evidence coming out, what you're saying becomes all the more shocking that they are accusing us of saying that you don't want to accept an election. Well, it strikes me that there's very good reason not yet to accept anything.
Yeah, first of all, they know that all the voter fraud is coming from their side. In fact, the reason that they say things like, if you watch these headlines carefully, there's no evidence of massive voter fraud. There's no evidence of systematic voter fraud. This is kind of the media stance because they know that there's just simply an avalanche of affidavits about this dead guy who voted and this guy whose vote was transplanted and that guy who's voted, but it never showed up. So ultimately, I think the Trump people are going to have to make the systematic case. I don't know to what degree statistical evidence is going to work here, but the statistical evidence seems to me to be quite overwhelming.
Oh, sure.
And I'll mention just two brief lines of evidence. The first one is simply what I would call the idea that, for example, Biden could get 138,000 consecutive votes. Now, I saw a guy who's behind the decision desk at Fox, and literally this guy with sort of a straight face goes, well, you know, Americans do kind of vote in groups, and there are communities where there are like a lot of Biden guys who all live together.
Who said that?
This was not Steyerwalt, but the other dude who's running the election desk at Fox. He was being interviewed, and he was saying, literally without blinking, that this is how it is. And I can testify, you know, just from my own experience. I mean, we open our movies, for example, in major cities. And a lot of people think, you know, our movies are going to do well only in red America. No, our movies do fantastically in LA, fantastically in Chicago, fantastically in New York City. Why? Because there are tons of red people who live in the blue areas. That's a fact. You're one of them, I know. So the idea that you can rack up 137,000 blue votes without one red vote intruding is statistically preposterous. The other interesting patterns we're seeing in the swing states, and by the way, it's very interesting that the voting essentially stopped only in the swing states, the vote counting.
But look, Dinesh, we have to all understand, that is when we knew something was going on. That you want to talk about statistics? I mean, the idea that it happened simultaneously only in the swing states, only when Trump looked to be pulling ahead, any fool would say, I see something fishy going on. How about if we investigate?
If we look back in retrospect, it's almost like they needed election day to figure out how many votes they needed to cook up. And moreover, even some of the other craziness, when you look back, I was wondering, you know, why isn't Biden campaigning? This guy is acting as if he's got the whole thing in the bag. And now in retrospect, it seems like, well, maybe he knew he did. Or even the way that they pressed Amy Coney Barrett. Will you agree that if this case goes to the courts, you will recuse yourself? Again, this would seem like an odd question to press with so much insistence. And now again, in retrospect, it's like, ah, yeah, now we see why they were so insistent. They kind of knew that this was going to be a legal fight because they were cooking it up.
It's just staggering. I mean, you and I, you come from India. I come from a family where my parents left Greece and Germany. And so we have a particular way of seeing things. We're aware of the fact that the way this country has worked is not normal. To have elections where every vote actually counts, where we stand against corruption, it's something beautiful and noble and sacred. And the idea that we're going to look the other way when it starts to look fishy, I think every American, unless they simply despise Trump so much that they're irrational to the point of not caring whatever about our foundational institutions and values, that any American would say, we really want to win, but we don't want to win by cheating. That seems to me the most basic thing. You teach your children that. The Democrats really seem to be so desperate, so consumed with hatred, that they would be very happy to win by cheating.
And I would widen the angle by saying things like this. You know, I've been in America now since the very late 1970s. I never thought I'd live in a country where, let's say, my right to free speech would come into fundamental question, where we would have these digital platforms that came to power by purporting to be sort of like the phone company. You know, in other words, we're a neutral platform. We're going to allow you to connect with your relatives and your old friends. We're going to have a robust debate. And then when they become monopolies, they turn on you and they basically decide, we're going to regulate your content. I mean, can you imagine if AT&T were to say, we're going to be listening in on your calls, no hate speech. speech allowed. And if you say things that are misinformation, we're going to limit you to 2 phone calls a week, even though you pay your bill. We're going to cut your service off. I mean, people would shut the place down. So who knew that our First Amendment rights, our rights to assemble, our rights to religious freedom, and look at the media. Who would know we'd reach a point in the media where they would suppress, unanimously suppress, the biggest story of the election? In other words, there's not one journalist at one major institution in the country that goes, you know what? All these other fools aren't covering this big story. Let me cover it for the Dallas Morning News. Let me cover it for the Sacramento Bee. No, the level of conformity is so great that that guy knows that if he put out the Biden story, if he talked about what was on Hunter Biden's laptop, his own boss would cut his throat.
Right. I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And this shows, you know, people often say, you know, how is it possible that that happened in Germany in the 30s in a civilized country? Well, I say, I'll tell you how. Precisely like this. When you do not speak up and tell the truth, you add to the pressure to others to not speak up and tell the truth. And when there are enough of you, everyone looks away, everyone says what they think they're supposed to say, and you go down the tubes quickly thereafter. In this nation, you and I know that we've not been at a moment like this. This is an extraordinary moment, and everyone has to be committed to speaking the truth. We're going to go to a break, folks. We've got more coming up with Dinesh D'Souza. After Dinesh, we'll speak to our friend Jenna Ellis, and we'll have more with Dinesh tomorrow because this is a much bigger conversation. Don't go away. Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net. Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like 3 pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are. And I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you. Folks, I'm talking to Dinesh D'Souza. Jenna Ellis is coming up. Dinesh, I have to ask you, where do you think we are today? This is Thursday, the 12th of November. Where do you think these lawsuits are? Where do you think the Dominion voter machine fraud is? I mean, it seems to me clear there's fraud. This is really, really dark, nasty stuff. And I think there are a lot of people in the middle, maybe they didn't vote for Trump, but they're not comfortable with this kind of voter manipulation, this kind of fraud. Where do you think we stand now in terms of pushing forward this investigation?
You know, I was just talking about this topic with O'Reilly, and he was arguing that there is only one path for Trump to win. I'd call it the narrow path. And the path is for Trump to take Arizona and then for the Supreme Court to essentially throw out the late votes in Pennsylvania on the grounds that state law clearly requires that the votes be in by 8 p.m. election day. A judge decided whimsically, I'm going to give you a 3-day grace period, flatly contravening the state law. So the Supreme Court could very narrowly say, listen, it's very simple. Those are illegal votes. We're going to toss them out. Trump wins Pennsylvania and thus wins the presidency. This is the narrow path. I favor the wide path because it seems to me that if the court takes the narrow path, they will leave the structure of cheating in place, and it will recur in the future. So what the Supreme Court needs to do, I think, is two things. One is to recognize that the idea that you had all this vote switching, the idea that, for example, you know, Trump was running alongside the other Republicans all through Election Day. In fact, he was doing better by about 7% than the other Republican candidates in the swing states. And then after Election Day and the counting, the other Republicans held the pattern, but Trump took a nosedive. This would be as if tens of thousands of people decided to vote for Biden alone, but no other Democrats. So very weird. I mean, anyone who looks at this, anyone who does data analysis, artificial intelligence, pattern recognition, can see this is more than fishy. This is wrong. Something has gone on here, and something has gone wrong by programming or by design. So the Supreme Court needs to say, let's get into this. And second, let's define once and for all what a legal vote is. So the state governments have the right to orchestrate the procedure. They can decide how to organize the counting. But this is what a legal vote is, and nothing else counts as a legal vote. I think the Supreme Court would do a lot to build confidence in the legitimacy of our democracy if it took this occasion. And what better occasion is there to do that?
No one has made that point. The point you just made strikes me as very powerful, not just powerful, but significant in terms of the big picture. When the Supreme Court rules, keeping in mind what you just said, that they have to send a signal that not only do we want this election to be fair, but we want everyone to know that fairness is who we are. And it seems to me that if they're not willing to make an example of this, they should come close to that. They should say that we as Americans are offended in the same way that George Washington was offended when his officers came to him and said, let's do a military coup. It is right for people who love liberty to be offended at those kinds of suggestions. And I think that's very interesting, Dinesh. I guess I wonder, how do you think it finds its way to the high court? Somebody said to me that the administration is judge shopping right now. They have to find somebody in a lower court who's willing to hear this. I mean, it's complicated for people who are not lawyers.
Well, that's the way the process works. You file at the local level. Sometimes you lose at the local level, but it doesn't matter because your goal is ultimately to run it up the flagpole. And you can do this in a very expedited way because all the courts recognize that this is the pressing issue that has to be resolved and resolved immediately. You know, I'd like to make a broader point here, and that's this, that normally when somebody wins, they want to demonstrate that the process is fair. It's really odd that Biden is saying nothing about, hey, if I were Biden, I would say, you know what? Of course I won fairly. Let's investigate voter fraud. Let's check all these things out. You know, this would be like if you told LeBron James that every time he goes for the basketball hoop, the hoop drops 4 inches. It would be in his interest to say, wait a minute, don't be ridiculous. No, that's not the case at all. Come take a look. But Biden is dead silent on the topic, which suggests to me that he knows that something is up. You can establish a process as fair only when you convince the losers that the rules were fair. It's not for the winners to go, oh, of course we won, the rules are fair, end of story, now you unify with us. You know, no one's going to go for that. You've got to convince the loser, you know what? You came in seventh in the race, but look, you did start on the same line. The clock went on, the gun went off, and the other guy hit the finishing tape first. So you can verify for yourself that you lost a fair race. Otherwise, of course, all the participants feel that the race was rigged because it is.
And think of the example that this sets for children. If you don't take honesty and fairness very seriously as a nation, to me, that is just a tremendously corrosive image to send to young people, that winning at all costs is what we're about. And you're quite right. The Biden folks, what they have done is basically said, everybody shut up, it's over. Everybody shut up, it's over. Look, we know it's over because we're gonna, look, we're having a party, we're having a rally. We're grateful that it's been decided, even though it hasn't been decided. And in case you're still not convinced, we spent a couple of $100 on graphic designers, and we now have an official sign that says "President Office of the President-Elect." Look, look, it's very obvious. It's amazing how hard they are pushing the idea that it's over, nothing to see here.
That's because they are depending on the Republicans to be to follow their customary sucker behavior and fall for it. So this, I think, is the what's different. In a way, Trump has sort of remade the Republican Party. He's done it in other ways. It's a little more of a working class party and so on. But he's remade it in the sense that we now see through this.
This is
we're not falling for the scam.
We have a hard break. My apologies. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Dinesh. Thank you so much.
Look forward to it.
Hey there, folks. You remember Jenna Ellis? Remember she was going to be on earlier in the program and was replaced in the lineup? The coach said, we want Dinesh to go in and we're gonna hold Jenna for the cleanup batter spot. Remember that? Well, the fourth batter in the order, here she is, Jenna Ellis. Jenna, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Eric.
Look, I know you are busy in meetings with the president. We are in the middle of a national crisis. I am really confident. A lot of people are praying. You're there. You're a lawyer. What do you see happening right now? Where are we?
Yeah, well, where we're at is uncovering just massive, massive fraud. And there will be lawsuits that will be filed in the forthcoming days, possibly even within the next 24 hours. And remember, of course, for all the American people who are wondering, you know, when are we going to see the evidence? When are we going to get to the bottom of this? Investigations do take time. We're working as rapidly as possible. It's only been a little over a week, but what we are discovering, the people who are coming forward as whistleblowers to explain what they saw, not only at the polling locations, and then how they were denied access to the polling locations. But even more than that, Eric, what we're seeing with this Dominion voting system, this is huge. And the president has tweeted about this today, that reports are coming out and what we're seeing of possibly up to 2.7 million or more votes that were simply deleted, that were for President Trump, how their voting system was able to have users that would log in and see the votes as they were coming in. And if it was a Trump vote, they could manually change it to a Biden vote. They could duplicate the vote if it was Biden and have a person actually cast not one, but six votes for Biden. So all of this technology, we really, really need a forensic audit. We need to know exactly what happened. And there's even more than this that I can't even go into detail right now about this company. And it's a foreign company and it's been used in multiple states. I mean, this has now nationwide impact. There is no doubt in my mind that the president is absolutely right that this election was rigged. And so now it's just a matter of gathering the evidence, filing the lawsuits, and getting to the proof in court.
I have to say, anybody who follows me on Twitter knows I posted a little bit about this Dominion company, and it is nasty stuff. We're talking about George Soros involvement. We're talking about, I mean, it's one of these things that you'd make it up like in a novel and you'd say, but this could never happen in reality. I mean, the idea that we now have this kind of voting where tech people, where people who are brilliant with computers can do things that you could never dream of doing with a paper ballot or with one of the old fashioned voting machines. I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, when you say something like 2.7 million, I think of the old people with walkers who stand in line for a long time to cast their sacred vote. One vote like that is sacred. When you think of not just that one person, but of thousands and potentially scores of thousands and hundreds of thousands and maybe millions being disenfranchised that way, you want to talk about voter suppression. Don't you find it ironic that the other side, including President Obama, talking about voter suppression, which is a joke? I mean, show me the voter. Do you want to see evidence? How about you show me evidence of voter suppression? But we're talking about people that believe in this nation, believe in our system, and somebody very cynically paying off, I don't know who. I guess I want to ask you.
He'll come out as well.
How do we know?
Come out as well. Stay tuned.
So who paid and who was behind this?
Right, right. Well, and a couple of really important points that you made, Eric, is that, you know, this isn't even just about the 2.7 million, which is an astounding number. I mean, the mainstream media, as we've talked before, is trying to use this term widespread fraud to move the goalposts and to basically say, this doesn't matter, this doesn't matter. Biden is the president-elect, we've coronated him, that's the end of the story. But even more than that, when you have this much of intentional malfeasance and you have this much intentional criminal activity, this is really a disenfranchisement of the entire nation at this point. Because when you look at what's going on, I mean, this isn't just a mailman who takes a stack of votes and every single one of those is sacred and absolute. I mean, if this was 40 votes, it would matter. It counts as fraud. We need to diminish that. But this is such sinister, evil conduct that it's an intentionally designed system to have user manipulation so that they can disenfranchise the entire nation. And so this isn't just about those specific votes that were manipulated. This is about leaving open this electronic activity for this type of fraud on purpose. And I posted a link on my Twitter page. I might encourage everybody, you know, follow me, follow Team Trump, of course, follow the president on Twitter, but I posted a link to a report just from last year in 2019 from the state of Texas, who refused to certify Dominion voting systems because they found that it was too open to this kind of user abuse. And it had portals that were open for USB, for other online activity, that it was too open to fraud. And so on the Texas Secretary of State website, there's this four-page document where an assistant attorney general in Texas says, I recommend that we don't use this because it's too open to manipulation and fraud.
Okay, so Texas said, this is fishy. We don't want to use these machines. But these machines were used in how many states?
Right now, we're looking at upwards of possibly 38 states.
Okay, this is unbelievable. I want to ask you, Jenna, and you probably can't say anything specifically because you work with the president, you're on his legal team. But what I said the other day is that when you, I guess I put this on my Twitter, when you notice six states suddenly stopping the count, it was bizarre. I mean, anybody with a brain, you don't have to be a genius. You say, that's weird. I've been following elections for quite a while. That's really bizarre. What just happened? And then you say, well, it looks like this is a conspiracy. We know that this kind of thing doesn't just happen in six states. So if somebody made a decision that if things are going this way, we stop the counting, you kind of have to ask who was in the room when that conversation happened? Who are the people, who are the leaders that had that conversation? That is treasonous. It is beyond belief that that happened. That information is going to come out. We'll be right back, folks, talking to Jenna Ellis. Welcome back to the Here from Texas Show. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis. Jenna, you are with the campaign. You are with Team Trump. You are in the middle of this. I was just asking the big question. If any of this was planned, and unfortunately it looks like it was. It wasn't just kind of like random glitches and random corruption, but that somehow behind all of this, there were some high-level people saying, here's here's some of the things we're going to do. If we get to actually see who those people were, this is going to be the scandal of the century. I mean,
It's going to rock the nation as far as who all was involved, the ties that they had, where this was coming from. We are still uncovering that information. And, you know, Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, some of my colleagues who are on this case are working diligently around the clock on this. And you're going to see some of these lawsuits very soon. And so, you know, these are things that we're going to get to the bottom of. And I want to go back to what you said in the prior segment about, you know, how this is more widespread of use than just the six states that we're looking at for recounts. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of pushback from people saying, well, if Dominion voting systems were in a state that Trump won, what's your beef? Well, this is where they're so savvy, right? Because you don't need all of those states. And that would, of course, be incredibly fishy if a really, really red state that, you know, that Trump knows that he's going to win, like Tennessee or Alabama or, you know, something that we always know goes to the Republican side. If that somehow went to Joe Biden, then everyone would be questioning. So they're trying to then push this off and say, hey, look, that was fine. But think about it. If you're somebody who's manipulating it, all you have to do is push up Biden enough and tamper down the votes for the president, like some of these, what they're trying to call glitches, with 6,000 votes being taken away from Trump, 6,000 given to Joe Biden in certain key counties, that they're doing it on a widespread enough level to have an outcome determinative impact, but they're doing it to try to fly under the radar so it doesn't look as suspicious. So this is why we have to have these forensic audits. We have to look at exactly what happened, and we have to make sure that there are no states that will certify the election results until we know exactly what happened. And if Joe Biden and the Democrats were really concerned about truth and fact-finding, and they want to know, and they actually want to know the truth here and get to the bottom of this, they would be okay with that. They would be okay with saying, wait, this is not the American system. We agree every legal vote should count, and we want to make sure that if we win, we do so legitimately. But they're not saying that. I mean, I saw on Twitter today, Joe Biden now has a Office of Presidential Election Transition Team that's a verified Twitter account. I mean, this is how deep the deep fake is. And even on Facebook, on Twitter, on all of the big tech, and including all of the mainstream media outlets, the New York Times, Washington Post, all these people, they are trying to push this narrative that Joe Biden is legitimately the president-elect and just ignore everything else and ignore what is rapidly becoming one of the greatest scandals in American history.
There's no question about it. They are scared to death. That's why they're pushing the phony transition. I think many of them are afraid that if the truth comes out, they will be transitioning to jail. And I can't believe that I'm serious, except I know that I'm serious. This is so ugly and nasty. We're going to keep you into the second hour. Jenna, don't go away. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away.